Good morning. I want to welcome you to our service this morning. I have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. It is truly the greatest sermon I've ever heard. But you know, before I started preaching on it, I like what was in it, but it has taken on a new meaning for me, and I hope in some ways it's been a challenge to you as well. Today's lesson is on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. I've entitled it, A Prayer Away, and that's our God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Before I read the scripture, this passage is on the Lord's Prayer. And I want to say this prayer this morning as a congregation. We're going to say it now, and we're going to say it at the end of my sermon as well. And I want you to be thinking about what you're praying. And hopefully by the end of the sermon, you'll have some new thoughts, new things that stand out to you when you pray this prayer. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Follow along as I read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which seeth in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I didn't know there was so much in one prayer till I started studying, but as we get into that today, I just want you to be thinking about how we approach the Father and what that means. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, when thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites are. Do you know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is an actor, okay? An actor on stage portrays somebody totally different than who they are, okay? They're playing a part, and that's what a hypocrite is. They're playing the part, okay? So keep that in your mind as you think about hypocrite. Jesus gives us a couple of warnings about prayer. The first one, he says, be careful that you're not praying out of vain glory. That you're not praying out of pride, as the Pharisees did. Lord, I thank you so much that I'm not like one of them. Fact of the matter is, we've all been where one of them was. We've all been there. But it's only through God's great love that he picked us up and he's brought us forth and we have life again. So don't pray with pride. And oftentimes, we tend to pray that we might cover up our deficiencies or our sins. And we get up here and we pray these long prayers, not to really reach the Father, but to impress our neighbor. Maybe you don't do that. Don't pray like an actor. And don't pray in the street corners, so that men can see what you're doing. You see, I think the reason while prayer is good, why doesn't God want us to pray on the street corners? I think it comes down to this. Man has an underlying tendency to want to look good in others' eyes. That's something that we all struggle with. And he doesn't want us to be seen of men. He just wants us to pray to him, to have that relationship with the Father. I'm just thinking of this now. We were speaking about social media and what that all entails. And, you know, you tell somebody, 1,000 people can see it, okay? But isn't it better if you can tell one person something you're really struggling with and they hear you, they identify with your problem, and give you a big hug? Isn't that much better? Sort of what God is saying here. Don't pray to pad your own ego on the back. Pray to me so that you can have a deep relationship with me. Instead of praying on the street corner, I want you to enter into your closet or your own personal war room. And I reference that movie War Room again. If you haven't seen it, I think it's coming out this month, and I would highly recommend all of you to see it. I was going to say the youth, but I think it's more important for some of you prayer warriors to see it and the difference that it can make. It's got a great message. You know, when we pray, are we strategic in how we pray? You're looking at a man that struggles with strategy in prayer. Do you have a strategy? Are you praying specifically for a person over a period of time? Is your list getting bigger instead of just repetition? Which leads me into my next point. Do not use vain repetitions. And right away you think, well, that doesn't include me. I'm talking about the prayers that we all pray. Things like, do you ever use phrases like this? This is pretty weak, but now I lay me down to sleep. And kids, I love when you pray that. But as you get older, you should be praying more than now I lay me down to sleep to go to sleep at night. Do you use phrases like, Lord, just bless my day today? Well, what the earth does that mean? Is that very specific? Or you may use a phrase like, bless this food. Does that have meaning at all? What does that mean? Bless this food. I'm not sure what that means even. Help me to have a good night's sleep. I just use three phrases that I use a lot. I don't know about you. The Bible says, use not vain repetitions. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't want your prayers just to be... Sometimes I get tired of hearing myself talk. I think God gets tired of hearing me talk too. Don't use vain repetitions. He wants it to have meaning. It's got to be more than just bless this and bless that. Okay? I think that's what he's saying when he says, do not use vain repetitions. The disciples had a question about how do you pray. And Jesus clearly laid out, this is how you pray. Now, here's the tricky part. You can pray the Lord's Prayer every time you pray, but it could become a vain repetition. But it doesn't have to be. Okay? It doesn't have to be if it has meaning to you. So let's break this prayer down. And I want to look at each phrase and see exactly how God is calling us to pray. And it may be different. You may get something different out of the phrase than I got out of it, and that's okay. It starts out with this. Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. I love this concept of a father. And I know some of you were brought up in a situation where you did not have a great father. But a father is there for protection. He's there for affirmation, too. Some of you who are fathers, you've probably heard this before. Did you like that, Dad? Did I do good at that, Dad? How was I today? You've heard that. And what's your response as a father supposed to be? Johnny, you were really good today. That's what they're looking for. And as I look for my affirmation, you know, we earthly fathers, we make a lot of mistakes. And we probably haven't given the affirmation that our children need. But I know for sure that my Father in heaven can give me every affirmation that I'll ever need in my life, because he saved me, he created me, he loves me, he cares about me. Our Father is not limited to time or space. It says, our Father who art in heaven, he is concerned about our every need. He's not limited by space. He knows exactly where you're at right now. He knows exactly where you're going to be this afternoon. He cares about that. He knows exactly where you are. Speaking of knowing exactly where you are, this little social media gadget here. I had a small issue with this a couple weekends ago. Turned into a big issue, but it was an issue. I was hunting, and my son got a buck, and I took my jacket off. I normally put this in my coat pocket, but I wanted my phone in case somebody called me. So I stuck it in my rain jacket pouch in the front of my thing, and I bent down to get my son's buck, and this thing fell out of my pocket. I didn't know it. So we had about a half a mile on four-wheelers back to the truck, and I thought I had stuck it in this pocket, and it fell out when I was on the four-wheeler. So we went back, and we were looking all over the place for the cell phone and couldn't find it. I didn't know what to do. I got a lot of information on this phone. It's actually hard to run my business without it. But I couldn't find it. I came home. So Monday morning, I went to the AT&T store, and they gave me this phone number. Nobody could help me. Was trying to see if I could locate my phone. And one of the tech people said, well, try to log on to Android Device Manager, put in your Gmail account and password. And I did that, and within 5 seconds, I knew exactly where my phone was, exact coordinates. That's pretty scary. But God's not just like that. I mean, I was happy about that I could find my phone. I knew it was about 80 yards south of the railroad bed and just a few feet from the creek. It turned out to be 8 inches away from the creek, but that's where it was. So that's how precise it could tell me on Google Maps where it was. But God is way more than an Android device manager. He knows exactly where you are, but he knows how to remedy the problems you have too. He wants you to go to him. The verse says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. That's my God. All you do is ask, and he's just a prayer away. Our Father provides for us. He brings peace when everything seems to be falling apart. He brings belonging, something everybody in this room is searching for. If you're not searching for it, you search for it at some time in your life. The place where you no longer have to prove yourself and are accepted with no questions asked. You know the type where you have a good friend and you can just be yourself with that friend. It just doesn't matter what you say or what you do. They accept you for who you are. God does that. Our Father provides for us forgiveness, a place for restoration and healing. Here's a question for you. Do my requests seek a desire for his glory, not just a desire for my own comfort, pleasure, and goodwill? Our Father who art in heaven. Then it says, hallowed be thy name. James, you guys led the song, Your Name is a Strong Tower. I want you to think a little bit as the kids are coming in here. I want you to think a little bit of names of Jesus Christ or God. And if you would call them out loud enough for everybody to hear it, I want you to hear who my God is. Just call out names of God or Christ. Keep them coming. There's hundreds of them. El Shaddai. Prince of Peace. Counselor. Jehovah. Redeemer. Say that again. Bread of Life. More. Jehovah Jireh. Wonderful. Shepherd. Abba Father. The Light of the World. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. There's significance in names. Hallowed be your name. And what hallowed means is thank you for who you are. Thank you for being unchanging. Thank you for being the I Am. Thank you that you're in control. The name of Christ. Hallowed be thy name. So when we pray, address your prayers to the Father who is in heaven, who is over us, and worship his name for all that he's done for us. The next phrase is thy kingdom come. And of all the other phrases that in this prayer, this one jumped out at me the most. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It says, let your gospel be preached to all. Who is all? Let thy kingdom come. Let your gospel be preached to the unreached. Let it be preached to the Muslim communities. Let it be preached to people living in the cities. Let it be preached to the people living in the country. Let it be preached to the rich, to the poor, to the governments around the world. Let the gospel be embraced by all. You know, when he created man, he had a purpose. It was for his kingdom to be lived through our lives, but sin, I don't think we realize how powerful Satan has become because of sin. We have a free choice to be part of his kingdom, to tap into the blessings, to tap into the forgiveness that God gives us. But we lost in so many ways. Let the gospel be embraced by all. Let your kingdom come. Let the bounds of the gospel and the church be enlarged. Let God's kingdom come. Let the kingdom of the world be made Christ's kingdom. Won't that be awesome? All this chaos we've been talking about, all this Muslim conflict, all the social ills that we have in our country, Lord, just let your kingdom come. Open their eyes that they might see. That all men might become subject to the kingdom of God and live in the character which God has created them to be. Did you hear what I said there? When you're speaking about letting God's kingdom come, you're just praying, Lord, help each person to realize that God created each person for a specific purpose and just let that character come out. Okay? Instead, we let that human nature comes out. Lord, let thy kingdom come. Help us to realize our character that we were created for and just let it come out. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This phrase is for us to recognize that it's not about our agenda. It is about what God wants for our life. And I would imagine that there's many times in your life that God has not made sense to you. And the things that you thought would have been God's will weren't. I'll give you an illustration of that. When we came off the mission field in 1994, I had a specific job lined up at Daveco Graphics. It's where I'd worked before I went on the mission field. And I felt like that is what God was calling me to do coming back from the mission field. To make a long story short, 2 days before I was starting my job at Daveco, they called and said the position is no longer available. I was devastated. I was 2 months away from having my first child. I had not earned income for 2 years. And I needed income. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here. Lord, I just served you for 2 years. Why are you taking this away from me? I didn't have any idea. So God called me to work on a pig farm. Daveco Graphics, pig farm. Didn't make much sense to me. So I worked for my brother, and he had all the work he could give me, but it was a pig farm. A couple months later, I got a call from Linville Hill asking if I'd be interested in teaching phys ed. And I said, yeah, I think I could make that into my schedule, because I work on a farm, I think I could work around it, and I think I could make that work. And I did. The next year, Linville asked me if I would be the Bible teacher along with phys ed. And I said, well, that's going to stretch me pretty far. But it worked. 3 months after I started my job on the pig farm, my brother came and asked me, would you be interested in going in partnership with me to buy a candy stand? I mean, I like candy, but that's about what I knew about candy. And I'm a fairly conservative investor type guy. I don't take many risks. And so I said, sure, why not? After a lot of prayer and thought. And we did that. We paid a lot of money for it. Went into debt doing it. I'm like, what have I got myself into? And my father can tell you more about this, but they were away for a number of months. I think they were in Florida. And they came back, and we had been living in their basement at the time. They came back, and their two-car garage was full of candy for Easter. And it was about 3 weeks till Easter came. And I'm sure that I had not sold a fifth of my candy yet, not even close. And I got 3 weeks left. And I still remember what my father said. He says, do you know what you're doing? I said, no, Dad, I don't. So I went to talk to the person I bought it from. And his words were, it'll sell. I still remember that, too. And it did. But it's not the plan that I had for my life at all. But because of that plan, it's allowed me to be involved in a Christian school and affect people's lives. It's allowed me to coach basketball teams. It's allowed me to do a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to do on an 8-to-5 job. I look back now, I can see it, but it didn't make a hill of beans of sense to me when it happened. But that's the God that I serve. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You may not see why you're struggling right now, or what in the midst of your struggle, you may not see God's will. But I guarantee you, God has a purpose for that struggle. And it's hard to figure out what God's will when it doesn't make any sense at all. Give us this day our daily bread. I want you to look at each word in this phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask for bread. Let's look at the word bread. It says don't ask for dainties or things we don't need. It asks for bread. Bread is symbolic of what we need. Okay, that's bread. Bread is symbolic of what we need. Okay? We ask for bread. It teaches us temperance. It doesn't teach us to go out and get anything we want. It actually teaches us against consumerism. We know a lot about consumerism these days. We don't think about it much. But you get bombarded this time of the year with catalogs and magazines and this and that and the other thing. Give us this day our daily bread. He asks us, let's look at the word our bread. That word teaches us about honesty and industry. It doesn't say someone else's bread. Give us this day someone else's bread. It talks about getting our bread honestly, not through cheating somebody and not through the bread of idleness. It teaches honesty and industry. Look at the word give. We ask God to give it to us, not to borrow it, not to sell it to us, but to give it to us. You know, the wealthiest men in the world have to some point in their lives come up to the understanding that their only reason that they are able to exist and are wealthy is because of Jesus Christ. You may not believe that, but that's very true. Every man has to come to the realization that they need to depend on God for the things that they have, to give them their daily need. So look at the little word us. Give us this day. Give it to us. This teaches us charity. It doesn't say, give us this. No. Give me this day our daily bread. It says, give us our daily bread. Do you ever wonder why that word is in there? I think this teaches us charity. Because not only are we asking for God to provide for our need, but in our sphere of influence, I want that need provided for as well. And God does too. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not one person, but it's talking about the people around you. And when God supplies your need and he blesses you, give to the need of others. So we can really look at this word us and give to the people around us. Then look at the word this day. This day. There's other verses in the Bible that says, take no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow will take care of, or tomorrow has enough of worries in itself. Pray this day our daily bread. You know, bread has a lot to do with physical needs, but I think it also has a lot to do with spiritual needs. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, like you said, Darlene. I am the bread of life. You know, we get our daily sustenance, our spiritual needs met through the bread of life. And God can renew your spirit each and every morning. Give us this day our daily bread, physical and spiritual. Let's move on to the next phrase. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I'm going to say something, and I believe it with all my heart. I got this out of a commentary, but I believe it very much. Unless your sins are pardoned, you will have no comfort in life. Unless your sins are pardoned, you will have no comfort in life. I don't care if you have $2 billion. Unless your sins are pardoned, you will have no comfort in life. Another thing is, don't expect forgiveness if you can't forgive. I am imploring you guys, when you pray, to be able not only to ask for forgiveness, but to extend forgiveness. We got an issue with that. We got an issue with forgiveness. We'll say things like, yeah, mess with me once. I forget what that whole phrase goes. Mess me with me twice. And we keep score. Or like social media, if you unlike me or unfollow me, I'm going to unfollow you type of thing. We have that mentality all the time. But I want you to understand something, that everybody in this congregation and outside of this congregation has a need of Jesus Christ in their life. And I don't care what depraved situation they're in, we need to be able to extend forgiveness when the people have wronged us. It clearly states it here. I'm not adding anything. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You can't get it more plain than that. Next phrase is, lead us not into temptation. Don't tempt me beyond what I'm able to bear. I want to read a verse from Psalm 19:13 that says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, or big sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't tempt me beyond what I'm able to bear. And he doesn't. You know, so many times with temptation, there's a window to get out of it. But so many times, we look the other way. And the temptation gets strong. The next phrase, deliver us from evil. Get rid of the sin that so easily besets us. I don't know what Paul struggled with when he said he had something in his flesh that just troubled him all the time. I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was physical or if that was a spiritual thing. I tend to think it was a spiritual thing. Deliver us from that thing that so holds us. Deliver us from evil. Get rid of the sin that so easily besets us. What area do you struggle in? What is that sin that you need deliverance from? 1 John 1:9 is very clear. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The prayer is concluded like this. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's power. We talked about what the kingdom is, God's kingdom. Yeah, I'm looking for Christ's return, and that could be part of his kingdom come, but I'm also know and pray for God's kingdom here on this earth, that people would give their character that they've been created for and give that to God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has given us a very simple prayer here. Or is it simple? It's a model packed with power. When we come to his throne, asking for his will to be done, realizing that God has the answer for our every need, let's be quick to forgive and live a life above the evil of this world. With a simple prayer, we can start changing the world. I'd like to close again with the Lord's Prayer. And as you pray it, I want you to think about what you're praying. Join with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.